Talk Shoe.
Recorded live.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Talking Twilight Zone.
Uncle Simon? Uncle Simon, do you want your hot chocolate upstairs? Uncle Simon, do you hear me? Do you want your hot chocolate upstairs? Uncle Simon!
Garbage head!
He's a real nowhere man, sitting in his nowhere land, making all his nowhere plans for nobody.
Someday I would like to find out what it is you putter around with down there.
Yeah, I bet you would. And someday you shall. Someday you will be owner of this decaying barn. Then you can do as you please. But until then, keep your spindle shank carcass out of my laboratory and your long, thin, probing nose out of my business. Now go and get me some hot chocolate. And use the English bone china cup. If it's not hot enough, I'll throw it on the floor.
If I look like a mean old man, that's what I am. If I look like a mean old man, that's what I am. If I look like a mean old man, pick you any way he can, break your heart and kiss your hand, that's what I am.
Uncle Simon, Uncle Simon, please don't die quite this moment. If you can hold on, try, just for a second. I want to tell you something. I want to make an announcement. As of this second, as of this very second, I have quit suffering because of you. I am no longer sewing, Uncle Simon. As of right now, I am going to rape!
My dear, if you can prevail upon that raggedy Ann carcass of yours to exert itself, I'd like a cup of hot chocolate. I would like it in the English bone china cup. And if it's not hot, I'll throw it on the floor.
All right, I'll make some.
Speak up, you lint-headed clod. I couldn't hear you.
Thank you.
this door with the click of a mouse. Beyond it is a world of sound, thought, and opinion. In-depth discussions of television's greatest blending of science, superstition, imagination. And you're invited along. We'll be talking Twilight Zone.
Danger, old fart out. Danger, yeah. Danger, old fart.
Charming guy, very charming guy, isn't he? Good afternoon, everybody. Yes, it is Talking Twilight Zone, and we're starting an hour earlier today. We do that every now and then for certain circumstances, certain events people have to attend, and this is one of those rare occasions. We're starting an hour earlier, so we have a little bit smaller crowd, no big deal, because this is not a stellar episode.
And we hey, you don't have to worry about no tough crowd today. No tough crowd.
Yeah. No, this episode gets no respect at all.
terrible. Worse than my firstborn, if I had a firstborn.
How's everybody doing today?
Howdy.
And Robert.
Left from the center, I guess. I'm doing okay.
Yeah. How are your hot dogs?
Nice and sunny out. No rain.
Oh, I know. Here, too. It's been gorgeous, and tomorrow, too.
We got to get our rain weather report out first before we start shows.
Let's go live to Ollie Williams with the weather report. Ollie?
It's raining sideways!
Sounds rough, Ollie. Do you have an umbrella?
Had one!
Where is it?
Inside out, 2 miles away!
Is there anything we can do for you?
Bring me some soup!
What kind?
Turkey!
All right, we'll get on that.
Yeah, of course, yeah. I went to a great yard sale this morning, so I got some good stuff to sell on eBay. So, yeah, it's been a good day, and I'm hoping tomorrow's just as good, too. As long as people don't screw me on eBay and not pay like they've been doing.
That's
another issue. But anyway, today we're talking about Uncle Simon, and that's episode 128 of season 5 out of 156 episodes. Boy, we're almost toward the end here, aren't we?
And now, Mr. Serling.
Dramatis personae, Mr. Simon Polk, a gentleman who has lived out his life in a gleeful rage. And the young lady who's just beat the hasty retreat is Mr. Polk's niece, Barbara. She has lived her life as if during each ensuing hour she had a dentist appointment. There's yet a third member of the company soon to be seen. He now resides in the laboratory, and he is the kind of character to be found only in the Twilight Zone.
Ah, Uncle Simon, yes. Very, very charming man. Yeah, and...
He just spit the pieman.
Oh, yes, he did. He did. Well, Barbara Polk, as I said, she's lived with him for 25 years. She lived with Uncle Simon. And she hates him. Absolutely hates him. But she's his only heir. So, you know, money, 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 you know. Money's king. And when you look at it that way, you know, after berating Barbara and treating her like crap for all those years, finally, one day, they're going down to the basement, and he starts yelling at her, and he raises his cane, and he's ready to strike her with it, and she catches the cane. Simon falls down the stairs, and he breaks his back. Aww. Well, he's frustrated with his feebleness, or she's frustrated, I'm sorry, she's frustrated with his feebleness, and his nagging, and his constant demands for hot chocolate, and everything else he can possibly want. So she finally looks at him.
You decrepit bowel bowl, give me some hot chocolate in my bone china cup.
You no good rotten. you dirty rat. And she looks at him, and she looks almost with total satisfaction on her face, and she lets the man succumb to his injuries, and he dies. Uncle Simon, that sweet old guy, dies. So, after Barbara's Uncle Simon there, his death, his lawyer was the name Schwimmer, Mr. Schwimmer. He's reading over the will with Barbara, and he points out that there's a stipulation requiring that she has to look after his last invention. So, see, that's what he did. He was an inventor. He was a scientist of some sort. You know, he did all these crazy things in the basement. And the last invention was a robot that acts and eventually sounds just like him, right down to the old guy's limp, which it develops after she attempts to destroy it by pushing it down a flight of stairs. So the lawyer explained that he'll make regular visits to ensure that Barbara is in compliance with her uncle's will, or else, guess what? She's disinherited. Okay, so that's the end of that.
Somewhere along the way, a bulb or a transistor or something becomes missing from that robot.
That poor, poor... Yeah. But you know what? This episode, this is my opinion, I think it was a battle of the wits. You have the old cranky, obnoxious uncle with his cane and his demands for the hot chocolate. And then you have the frumpy, bitter, verbally abused niece who's the sole heir to the crank's estate. And they're constantly at war, shouting at each other, arguing all the time. That's the whole first half of this horrible episode. The whole first half. Then Uncle Simon, he takes the tumble down the stairs. What to do, what to do. Let him die or help him out. And Barbara decides to let the old SOB die. Good girl. So now she gets everything, including the latest invention. And the robot, you know, is in the will. It dictates that she's got to care for the stupid-looking thing. Sounds like him, acts like him. Well, you know, that would be it for me. I'd hightail it out of that depressing dwelling as quickly as possible. But she didn't. That dimwit stuck it out because that money meant that much to her that she stuck this out. So I felt no sympathy for her, none whatsoever. I didn't feel sorry for her. You want money so badly that you'll go through your entire life totally miserable? For what? For that depressing house? And what's the money going to get her? She can't do anything with it. She can't even go out on a date. Who'd want her anyway? She's frumpy. She's boring, depressing. I mean, I don't know. I don't get it. I mean, what was she getting out of it? She got the estate. She got the wealth. She couldn't enjoy it. So what was the point? I didn't see any point. The robot even started insulting her like Simon did. I mean, who would put up with this? Nobody. No amount of money is worth throwing your life away like that. Barbara was so, as far as I'm concerned, she was so devoid of any feeling or emotion from the beginning to the end of this episode that I didn't really care what happened to her. I thought she just, you know, whatever she got, she deserved, she brought it on herself. And Simon was such a rotten, self-centered person that I didn't care about him dying either. Nobody
cared
about him.
And I can't understand why didn't something get worked out between her and the lawyer where she pays the lawyer off. Because if you look at it this way, it's going to get very tiring going back every single freaking week. And you know the lawyer's going to get tired of it. He'll either send somebody else to do it from the law firm or to work out an agreement where, okay, to save me from having to come back and forth all the time. Yeah.
Exactly. Because now his life is...
Hi, Lou.
You know,
by the way.
Hi, Lou.
Hi, Robert Highland.
So now his life is miserable because, you know, he's got to go there every week and he's got to check on her. And he was kind of just there, so nobody really cared about him. And the robot was just plain stupid. I don't know. I mean, Don Siegel directed this. And he also directed the 1950s cult film Invasion of the Body Snatchers. So if I were him, I would have left this episode off my resume. It's nothing to be proud of by any means, I would assure you of that. Sir Cedric Hardwick, he was much better than this travesty. I mean, he was a wonderful actor. He's done other things. He was also in other episodes of Twilight Zone. I think he's also... I'm not 100% sure. I think he's... in Passage on Lady Anne, but I'm not 100% sure of that. But he's in a couple of other... I'm not sure. I'll have to check that. But Constance Ford, she played Barbara, very unlikable. Thankfully, this was her only own appearance. I'm rating this a zero. I mean, it was slow. It was boring. It was totally lacking of any entertainment value at all. Cedric Hardwick was wasted in it. And, you know, to me, it was a big joke because... nobody should give up their life like that for money. She was miserable, and she did it all for money and got nothing out of it. No enjoyment. So, over to you, Robert.
Okay, thank you, Lynn. Yeah, this, as you said, is a story about the addictive uncle and scientist. And, you know, I can never understand how he got along with his fellow colleagues at the college he worked at. I mean, they were probably...
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot about that. Yeah, that's right. He worked at a college.
They probably were happy to get rid of him when retirement came around. So.
Yeah.
Well, remember, if she didn't get the money, the college was going to get it. The parents and money. Money was
important. Oh, yeah. That's right, Lou. That's right, Lou. If she didn't get it, that's right. I forgot about that. She wasn't going to allow that to happen.
That's why I say pay off the freaking lawyer and go to Europe.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, it was a joke.
I mean, she inherits all his worldly goods, but has to put up with his freaking inventions. So. But in the end, it's just an endless cycle where either her living or death will end her suffering. I don't know, maybe she go into another reality when she died and be... Lou, you remember the Angel series?
What, the Buffy? The Buffy spin-off?
Yeah, Buffy Angel.
Yeah, I do.
You remember season 5 when they were at the Wolfram and Hart building?
Maybe. That's kind of a generic description. What was the episode about?
It's a bunch of lawyers, is pretty much. And they were trying to get Angel out of the way. So in order to get Angel out of the way, they gave, you know, the evil powers gave Angel and his group the Wolfram and Hart building there.
Yeah.
One of the things that the employees there were kind of contracted, not just body, but soul as well. And if they died, then their soul would revert over to Wolfram and Hart to do with whatever. And if you were really bad and you pedoed the ones that were running the whole thing, you ended up in these reality nightmares where the one character named Lindsay was in nightmares. And every so often he would have to go down to the basement and have his heart taken out. And then the whole cycle would repeat over again. You know, he'd have a wife, kids, and then he had to go down to the basement to change a bulb. And then,
oh, I see.
Yeah, it was just an endless hell. And I'm thinking this is what would probably happen to Barbara. If, you know,
yeah,
when she dies, she'd be serving the robot or the uncle again. And
she has no life. She has no life whatsoever. And she stayed with him only to inherit his wealth. And for what? You know, she's getting nothing out of it and never will.
No, she's in a living hell. But, you know, it's a hell that she created herself. I don't know if she could have saved any money off to the side and, you know, after he died, just said, screw it. And, you know, maybe, you know, took some money off of the cleaning cost or the food or something. knowing him, he probably checked the bills and stuff. So I don't know if she would have been able to get away with that. But.
It was just absolutely ridiculous. I mean, to put up with what she put up with for what, you know? It didn't make any sense to me.
But we get Robbie the Robot in this. Ooh.
Oh, yeah, Robbie.
We get something futuristic. So, I mean, you know, he was from Forbidden Planet and the Lost in Space series. But I felt that he was in this story. He's also going to be wasted in that stupid Whipple story.
Oh, my God, down the line, too.
So, yeah.
Guess 4 said women in that time didn't have a lot of job opportunities. And that's correct. I mean, in the 1950s, you know, jobs were basically you were either a secretary or a housekeeper. I don't know what the job opportunities were really like in the 60s. I was born in 1959, but I know my mother was a cashier in a movie theater. That's all she did her whole life. She cashiered in a movie theater. I mean, those were the opportunities that women had, you know, in the 60s for jobs, either a secretary or working as a cashier or a cleaning person. You know, there wasn't a lot to do. You didn't have many women lawyers, women doctors. You didn't have a lot of that in the 60s. So, yeah, I agree with you, Guest 4. That's absolutely right. So maybe she didn't have a lot of chances, but still it would have been better off for her to go out there and try to find something rather than living that misery.
Well, yeah. I mean, the funny thing about her character is that she had been with him for, what, 25 years?
25 years, yeah.
So when did she start? How old was she?
Well, she looked like she was in her late 30s. Well, by Twilight Zone terms, a lot of the times when they say how old people are, they look a lot older than they are.
Yeah.
But I'm assuming that she probably was in her early 30s. So
I'm saying she was a ward. So she was probably there since she was 15, 16 years old.
Oh, is that what you think it was? Yeah, they didn't really explain that. That's actually a good way of...
So she was between 30.
No, but didn't they say she came to care for him because he originally hurt his leg, and that's why she came to care for him? That's not a bad theory, but I think they did...
That's true.
They said she actually came. Because, I mean, What really makes, you know, because the episode starts with a lot of like, why is she here? And then even the character, Cedric Hardwick's character, says, why did you stay with me after all this time? She basically says that, yeah, I just want the money. I hate your
guts. She hated his guts.
I'm just waiting to die.
Exactly. That's what she was waiting for, and that's why she let him die. And I'm thinking, I'll say between 35 and 38 years old, because if you notice in watching all the Twilight Zone episodes, whenever they say a person's 35 or 28 or so, you look at them and say, oh, my God, they look like 10 years older than that. So people always looked older than they were supposed to be back then in those episodes. But I'm going to say she's...
Well, I guess conservatism adds years to you, I guess.
Yeah, so I'll say maybe between 35 and 40, something like that. But, yeah, so crazy. So what do you give it, Robert? You gave it a 1, right?
Yeah, I pretty much was the only one that did that. I thought there was a similar episode in 1980 reboot where they did this story, or the 85 reboot, but I couldn't find. I was kind of looking through the titles and stuff. I thought.
Oh, you mean in the remakes? Yeah.
Yeah, I thought there was a guy that transferred himself into a computer before he died. So
it might have been.
I could have been mixing that up with Outer Limits, or I could be mixing up with Tales from the Dark Side. So
yeah, I like that too. Mm.
But,
this has been
explored in countless stories, movies, and TV shows.
Absolutely, yeah.
I mean, a lot better. I mean, we had The Sixth Day. We had the Star Trek Next Generation, The Schizoid Man. So, I mean, you know, it's been done and concepts have been played out a little bit better. But
yeah. And Guest Four said that the girls in his high school were told to go to secretarial school, and that's true. In the 60s, that was true. You went to that was what you did. You were in the secretarial pool. And if you notice in most of the Twilight Zone episodes, that's what the women are doing. The women are secretaries. You know, they're not. You don't ever see any women in the Twilight Zone episodes of any really prominent positions.
No.
You know, and in that time frame, Guest Four says most people were expected to take care of their elderly relatives. Yeah, well, I'll agree with that to a point, but not if you hate their guts. And not if they're such SOBs, you know.
Not if they have a lot of money, maybe, which is apparently the case in this episode.
Yeah, but that was still pretty bad. Yeah. Well, so, Robert, you give it a 1, right?
Yeah, I guess we'll give it to Bobby. You ready for this dribble, Bobby?
Oh, she's got a ton to say, I'll bet, yeah.
Story of hell.
Pure agony. Season 5 creeps along with yet another dud episode. It's agonizing. I never thought watching a TV series could be so unpleasant. Only this one is more annoying and depressing than most of them in Season 5. I mean, really, why do I, or why should I, spend 24 minutes out of my life watching two unpleasant idiots scream insults at each other? I mean, Don Rickles should have been in it. At least it would have been funny that way.
Yeah, he was in Mr. Dingle. Yeah.
Frankly, this one makes me cringe. It's not only a matter of disliking it. It's just makes me cringe that our Twilight Zone group, one of our reviewers, George, said he wanted to throw a brick through his TV screen. And I can certainly understand that. It's basically the same thing I'm always whining about since starting the final season. There's no characters to relate to and no characters to care about. This goes on week after week after week. I think that the story is more interesting if you can relate to somebody or feel for them, but I'm feeling nothing. I mean, that old fart geezer and his old fart niece who only wants his money, you know, who cares? A plague on both of them. And her stupidity is obvious. She throws away her entire life. And how much of a moron do you have to be to believe that your uncle, who verbally abuses you, will leave you his fortune? I mean, he doesn't need to leave her a dime. He can leave everything to charity. Plenty of millionaires do just that. They don't leave anything to anybody. And that's not the only thing. There's another goofy thing going on here. For the second episode in a row, after the old man in the cave where that computer ran the post-nuclear war world and everybody wondered how it did that without any power source, the same thing is going on here. How long are the batteries going to last in his robot that he built? Can't she just wait it out? It's going to, if he's not there to take care of it, it's going to wind down at some point. In my original reviews of the group, I said that somebody should have recharged Rod Serling's batteries because it's obvious he's run out of ideas. This is really dreadful. Only one thing really distinguishes this episode, and that's that it aired on November 15, 1963, 1 week exactly to the day before the Kennedy assassination. And all I can say is I sure hope JFK wasn't a fan of the show and didn't have time to watch this, because I would hate to think that this is the last one you're ever going to see out of the series. I did enjoy it for one reason, though, and it's because it's so bad it brought us all together in a rare show of unanimity. Usually I'm the only one who parcels out zero ratings. But this time we all did, even Lynn, except for Robert's rating of one. And that's the first time that's happened since...
That was for the robot.
Yeah.
I like Robbie.
That's the first time since season four's The Bard. God, wasn't that dreadful. Where we all held our noses and gave that a zero. Now, of course, we still have Black Leather Jackets and Come Wonder With Me ahead of us. So this might not be the last time we all get together and say it really stinks to high heaven. And over at the Good Old Internet Movie Database, it gets a 7 out of 10 rating. I mean, honestly, are there any standards at all anymore? A few even called it classic, and one person called it the best one of the series. Anyway, I'll stick with zero until somebody comes up with something even lower. I can only say one more thing, and that's that I always really liked hot chocolate, as Lynn can tell you. And I usually have it on Saturdays, except I watched this again this morning, and now I can't face having any hot chocolate, maybe never again.
Now, do you have it in your Hershey mug there?
No, I don't have a special mug, but I don't know how many weeks it'll be before I can have it again without thinking about this. It's just a dreadful story. And it's like I said, give me somebody to care about already, please. Give me somebody to pull for. And not just this dark, depressing, hideously bad episodes. It's just awful. Constance Ford actually had quite a career after this. She was on a soap opera, Another World, for 18 consecutive years. So she went on to find something to do other than this.
Yeah.
I never really particularly liked Cedric Hardwick. I mean, he was more of a Shakespearean actor, and I'm not much into that. But
he was a good actor. He was really good actor.
Oh, I'm not saying he wasn't. He was in another episode, I think, but I don't know which one it was, and I don't remember.
I think he was in that Passage of the Lady Anne that's coming up.
Really?
Yeah, Free Story was in that. Yeah.
Well, I'll check it out while Lou was talking, and maybe I'll find out what the story is. It's another zero for me. Lynn?
Okay, and I got to welcome some more people. Barman54 showed up. Hi there.
Hello there.
Hey.
Hey, Ken.
And Ken's
what's
here.
Up?
And okay, we got Ken. Barman, who's Southern California?
Me.
It's Ken.
All right, that's Ken. And Barman54 is here. Okay, Barman54 is just on. Hi there, and hi Dave. Dave made it. Woo!
Wait a minute.
Yeah, Barman is Ken.
Barman is Ken. Barman's chat in South Pennsylvania is talk.
Dave, you came in late, so and it's not your fault, but I'm letting Lou go first this time.
I'll defer to Dave because Dave usually do the little intro, like the number of the episode. I'm just so used to hearing.
Are you
that.
Sure? Okay.
Okay.
All right, Dave, then you're on, babe.
Okay, yes, it was indeed from Series 5, Episode 128, 15th of November, 1963. And indeed, at the end, the epilogue, as it were, we get the introduction to the upcoming story of next week. But it was never aired the next week. You had to wait 2 weeks for the next story because, of course, as Bobby just said, there was the assassination of Kennedy, so... it was 2 weeks before the next episode was aired after this. I quite enjoyed it. I mean, it did have faults, and I think...
Oh, come on, Dave. You enjoyed the show. No. Now I'm going to do a Bobby here now.
Oh,
you
well, you
like Uncle Simon.
I knew somebody
this
would like
done.
It. I knew that.
You like Uncle Simon?
Listen, the point is that this
All right, you
was
tell
made...
Me why you,
this,
tell me why you like
this
episode.
This was made in 1963. So anything you see have seen after it that copies it, does a better job of it, improves on it, is irrelevant when you're judging this. This, you've got to judge it as what had come before it, not what comes after it. So it was a reasonable start.
But it's got a futuristic robot in it.
It's
got a great robot in it, but it's still a piece of crap.
It is indeed a salutary tale, or whatever it is that it's called, rather than science fiction. Indeed, you know, it was a robot, but it didn't have to have been a robot. But I do absolutely defer to Bobby in the terms of neither of them were likable. I mean, in actual fact, when I was listening to the actual Uncle Simon sitting down, basically goading the girl, I came to think, actually, I'm more on his side than hers. Because you almost felt as though, you know, he was irascible because he had to walk with a stick, he was old, he was, you know. Basically, it was just her catching in his craw, as you might call it, that was making him determined to live on. Indeed, as we find out later, to complete his secret that he was going on in the laboratory.
Dave, they should have sneaked Jonathan in there because he was saying the quotes that Johnson would say to the robot anyway. So it could have been an early pre-Lost in Space situation in this episode.
Right, yeah. I mean, the thing about anybody who knows science fiction, he knows that he would have had a nuclear power pack inside that robot. The fact you can get a nuclear power pack the size of a shoebox, well, that's just something different. But that's what most people
like
would have
Brown
thought.
Said you could go down to the corner drugstore and get one, you know.
Yeah, that would be. but definitely, the worst thing about it was the fact that neither of them deserved your care and thought, because they were equally despisable.
We didn't care about any of them. We didn't care about any of them.
They were cut from the same cloth, weren't they, really, in that sense. A couple of things. The first part where he gets injured, he's climbing up the stairs and he appears to attack her with his stick. In actual fact, she doesn't grab... I thought she shoved him, but in actual fact, all she does is grab his stick and... He actually falls backwards. She doesn't actually knock him down the stairs. And I was watching it again today.
Well,
so
she lets the stick go. So that's why, yeah.
No, she held the stick.
Yeah,
and
it
then
was
actually
let the stick slip from her hand.
I agree with Dave. He fell on his own. I don't think they wanted us to paint her in such an evil light. He just fell.
It happened. Yeah, I mean, she was then, of course... You know, rubbing it in. She didn't go and ring 911 or whatever it is you do in the States. She was quite happy to let him lie there and suffer. So that was her nasty cycle. But then I couldn't understand why she went round trashing the place. Because if I'd been in a situation where somebody died, quote unquote, suspiciously, the last thing I'd do was make it look as though we'd had a fight. Which, you know,
she got 25 years of pent up anger, Dave.
Yeah,
what it was. Yeah.
She's just expressing it. She probably had to live this tidy little life, and now that she finally had a chance, she finally got to open the drapes, and that's why
she's got to clean
world.
It all.
Okay. And the other thing is that when the robot first changed its voice, the first time when she actually pushes the robot down the stairs, and she does indeed push that one down, I wasn't sure whether she imagined the change in voice, because it seemed to be so sudden. Now, later on in the lounge or in his office where he has the desk, you seem to hear the robot change the voice and the robot's in shock. But when you first hear the change, I'm thinking, oh, she's cracked. The robot's actually still talking as a robot. She's just being, in her mind, she's hearing the old uncle's voice, and that's what flares that up. Because it seems so sudden. Couple of other things about the actors. I mean, yes, Cedric Hardwick, great actor. I mentioned it before, I mentioned it again. The last thing I really saw him in was Rope, the Hitchcock movie Rope, where he played the concerned father of the lad that gets murdered.
Who are you talking about, Cedric Hardwick?
Cedric Hardwick, yeah.
Hardwick,
he played the uncle.
Forgive me for interrupting, but I'm at IMDb and... This is his only Twilight Zone appearance. He was in The Outer Limits a year later.
Oh, okay.
Which is a great episode.
Oh, really? Okay.
With David McCallum, Forms of Things Unknown.
Oh,
and he's like his blind butler in it, a very totally opposite, very appealing part.
Oh,
no,
really?
It wasn't a year later. It was a number of years later.
No, it says 1964. Now, after this...
Couldn't it be? He died 1 year later.
Yeah, he died
1 year later.
Okay.
Three more things, and then he died. That was it.
Okay. That Outer Limits was like 65.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
I mean, he's 70. He dies age 71. So that upset me a bit. I was watching him. I think, God, he's only 3 years older than me, and he looks decrepit and old. I'm thinking, good God. But anyway, that's beside the point. I'm a bit more full of life than that.
Yeah,
crikey. So that was it. I thought they did a rather good job with the Constance Ford character, in as much as, you know, she's dowdy. And I'm thinking, well, I know she's worked for him for 25 years, but the actress herself was only 40 years old at the part, born in July, 1923, get it right. So she wasn't quite 40. Oh, she was just turned 40.
Yeah.
But then they did a number on her, didn't they? She decked herself up, and I thought, blimey, she's taken 10 years off herself there when she's getting dressed up to go out. But again, they didn't make either of the two characters pleasing at all. And of course, Ian Wolfe, I'm sure by now, and I'm sorry for arriving late, but I'm sure Robert must have mentioned that he was in Star Trek. You must have mentioned that. All our yesterday's episode.
Oh, you're right.
the man that's looking after the portals into the different.
And now, Mr. Serling, dramatist.
Hello.
What the heck are you doing over here?
Yeah, I mean he's been in a lot of things.
No, the problem is.
Yeah.
I can't type. If I type, then it turns the thing on, unfortunately.
Oh, I've done that. Thank you. I'm glad. In fact, I'm glad you did that. A couple of times on the Cults and Collective. I've started to type, but my mouse has been over the next clip I was going to play. As soon as I hit the key.
Mr. Serling.
Yeah.
So,
did you mention that? Did you mention that, Robert? Then.
I mentioned the Schizoid Man instead. So from Next Gen.
Okay. Well, so it wasn't. It wasn't two and a half is about as much as I can raise for it.
Maybe even two. Don't give it a 2.5, Dave. Come on, don't ruin my image of you.
I'll say two then, because they weren't particularly likable, and once you didn't like them, then really you felt as though she got her comeuppance.
Now
then,
we're
really
open to other people's opinions.
I have a very high opinion of Dave. He's ruining my opinion of him. You can't lower my opinion of him. You've got to give it only a 2.
Now, Rick can give a 5, and I know Rick ain't going to give a 5 for this, but I'm not going to speak on this.
Don't you raise your stick at me, Lynn. I'll just give it a 2.
All right, so you're giving it a 2. Okay, well, then I want to hear now what Lou has to say. And hi, Rick.
Hello. Sorry I'm late. I didn't realize that you didn't.
I know, darling.
I was late, Rick. Well, I didn't know. I told you otherwise.
I'll explain later. You know that.
I sent an invitation earlier today, but I know you guys probably didn't see it. Okay, Lou.
Okay, well, I hope Lynn doesn't have a low opinion of me. I'm not going to rate it as high as Dave, but it isn't a good episode, actually. The characters are not likable. Barbara's not that bright. I kept thinking there's so many things she could try to do to get out of it, and she didn't. I mean, the concept's also a little weird. I mean, apparently Cedric's Harvard character, Uncle Simon, he must have paid this law firm to come back to the house week after week after week.
Oh, it had to.
Because, I mean, you know, they were on some kind of retainer or something to be, I mean, all the money's in her, supposedly in her name, but these people can still keep coming to visit week after week.
No, it's all in a trust. She doesn't get any of the money. She is allowed to have the interest.
Well, no, but
the
money is hers. It's hers. It's hers under certain stipulations.
The trust is paying for the lawyers. Easy as that.
She paid into the trust. She's getting the money from the trust.
Interest only. She can't sell the house. She can't.
But
all she gets is the interest.
Yeah,
but still, couldn't she, like, I mean, I don't know. I just kept thinking there are ways that she could just, you know, I mean.
She could have just left, you know. I mean,
that's the thing. Would this episode have been better if she had left?
Yeah, her life would have been better, and the lawyer is not doing this for nothing.
Then she would have been placed on fire and left, probably.
That's what I was thinking. I was thinking this episode would be so much better if she had left, but then would it have felt like a traditional Twilight Zone episode?
Because,
I mean, Dave brings up the point that she never knocked through the uncle down the stairs, but she deliberately, because at that point the robot's just become like a surrogate of Uncle Simon. He is Uncle Simon. He's becoming Uncle Simon. And the fact that she actually finally gets to push this robot down the stairs is kind of her way of actually pushing Uncle Simon down the stairs. And I couldn't help but think, I remember, because after that scene, then I see her sitting in the chair, and she's just suddenly resigned to living this life. It just felt weird to me. And I thought
it's
that
like
this
she didn't have any ambition.
Yeah, you can explain that with the having lived there for 25 years. I mean, in some ways, I wanted her to be heroic at that point, even though she wasn't a very nice character.
No. I think that was just to make sure that the robot had a limp.
But still, I remember thinking, like, well, she could have broken him. No, but I'm just saying... That could have been a turn. It could have been like a heroic turn for the character. I don't know if that would have made it more like a Twilight Zone episode or just an episode where she actually finally stood up for herself finally. I mean, in some ways it would have been better, but it didn't happen that way. It ends up with this really, you know, just sad and kind of dumb ending, actually, because it makes no sense for her. Because at that point I keep thinking, you know, it's like this woman is being pushed to her limits. You know, the episode begins with Uncle Simon asking her why she stays, and she finally kind of confesses it to him. You know, I'm just waiting for you to die. I've been just staying by your side all this time just so that I can finally have the satisfaction of seeing you die. And then, you know, as soon as he finally does, you know, die, and she says she's free to the world, then she finds out that she's kind of stuck there again.
But, Louis, do you wonder, though, supposing she didn't have to care for the robot, he died, she got the inheritance. Don't you wonder what she would have done with it? I mean, she at that point was so jaded and so cold and so miserable. You kind of wonder, what would she have done with that fortune?
She glammed herself up.
I mean, well, she was dressed in, I guess, you know, funeral black, but at least she was a little more... I got the impression that she was... I mean, she says it, that she's ready to go out into the world. You get the impression that she wants this money to finally just escape, and then when she finds out she can't... I mean,
I agree, but after 25 years with this man, you wonder if she can even function in a real, normal world.
I mean, I don't think so. It's a series of circumstances that are strange. I mean, apparently, she's the only one in his family. Apparently, they're the only ones for each other. He has, you know, I guess her parents are dead, or, you know, I mean, at least... I mean, she's her niece. I mean, she's his niece, so that means she's the daughter of either Uncle Simon's brother or sister. So apparently that character's out of the picture. My impression is that they were the only ones for each other. That's why she took care of them. That's why she felt she would get the inheritance, because, Bobby's right about saying that there was no reason for Uncle Simon to leave her the money. There's the fact that she thought that would happen. I mean, I don't know why she thought that would happen, considering how much... he apparently detested her, that he would do that.
Can I just ask, do you think he detested her, or was he trying to goad her into killing him?
You know, I don't think she was trying to goad him into killing him.
He was. Because he kept saying to her, if you'd have had any gumption, he'd have killed me years ago.
Well, I think he was pushing her because he knew he could push her. He was kind of bullying her. I got the impression slightly that he was trying to get her to be a little more feisty and stand up for herself more. But, you know, the point where he falls
on
the ground.
But he broke her. There's no way that was going to happen. I mean, he broke her. Yeah.
He did. But then you have to admit all this little, you know, this arguing and this pestering that he does, it all goes away the minute he's at the bottom of the stairs. He's like, Barbara.
Yeah.
Barbara.
Yeah.
And you realize what
a
manipulative.
I don't think he wanted to die. I don't think he wanted to die.
He was just a very manipulative person. All of a sudden, he finds himself. in dire need, and, you know, he realizes this is the woman that saved me the last time. I really need her to save me this time. You realize what kind of an unsympathetic character he is. But, the only thing I liked about the episode was the first half, because I actually, you know...
Well, that's the part I hated the most, where they were arguing all the time.
Yeah, I mean, Robert said it wasn't funny. I thought it was hilarious. I enjoyed all the clever insults that... You know, usually people insult each other in kind of straight ways, but Uncle Simon was coming up with all these great adjectives and calling her, you know.
He was good at that.
Except for Jonathan Harris in that role, and that would have been great.
Well, I think Cedric Hardwick did a really good job with all the dialogue that he was throwing out.
I agree with Bobby. I think that Don Rickles would have been better.
But then it would have been an obvious comedy.
Yeah, hockey pop.
I mean, Don Rickles would have delivered it kind
of
in that way that we would have known it was all kind of like...
You hockey puck, you Barbara.
Exactly. It would have been a little over the top. You know, said Hart. You know, I'll bring up a movie that I really
and
like.
And Phyllis Diller is Barbara.
But there was this movie called Remo Williams, The Adventure
of
the Game.
remember that.
And if you remember the way the Joel Grey character would insult Remo, it's kind of similar to that, just this creative insult. So the beginning kind of made me laugh.
You move like a pregnant yak.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's those kind of insults that were kind of funny, but the characters were unsympathetic. Barbara wasn't really that bright. You know, I thought, you know, she could try to come on to the lawyer. I mean, there must have been something she could have done. And there's an old guy, right? She could have tried something with him. I don't know. Maybe, you know, they could have been on cahoots, you know. I mean,
who's that one that passed away? She's no, what was that one, that gal that passed away, that she's dating that old Texas Bart oil man?
Oh, and Anna Nicole Smith.
Yeah. No way. Yeah. That wouldn't work.
I just kept thinking of all kinds of old.
That's so good. Great.
I just thought there were so many possibilities that Barbara, if she had even an inkling of a brain, could have come up with.
A little imagination, yeah.
But she just seemed resigned to the fate that was dealt her. And it just, so the characters are unsympathetic.
Reprogram the robot.
Yeah, I mean, yeah,
be a pal.
Exactly.
I know.
You mean, I don't know. She just wasn't bright enough to do anything, so it really made her unsympathetic, and Uncle Simon was unsympathetic. He didn't care about any of the characters. And for that, it kind of, the episode really just falls flat for me. But like I said, I enjoyed the beginning, and I was hoping, you know, like I said, I think this might have been a better episode if Barbara actually finally did something or developed.
Like threw hot chocolate in his face.
Well, just, you know, because it seemed like it was progressing that way. So Uncle Simon falls down the stairs, and later on, she pushes the robot down the stairs. Maybe she would just let it crash. And, you know, she could have timed it, like after the lawyer left. Now I'm gonna kill him, and I got a week before he comes back, and I can do something, try to do something, just take as much money as I can and get out of Dodge, but nothing like that. She just stays resigned to the fact. She doesn't take any chances. It's just, but like I said, the opening was interesting. You know, today the way dialogue written isn't as clever or as creative as it seems like it was back, like with this episode. So for that reason, you know, I give it like 1.5 stars.
1.5. Well, okay, I'll accept that. Sure, 1.5 stars. Okay, still too high for me, but I'll accept it. All right, now we have Rick or Ken. Who wants to go first?
Well, Rick, I will be a gentleman if you want to go first. I'll go.
Okay, I'll go.
All right, you go.
I'm looking forward to this, Rick.
No, I'm not going to five, Robert, by the way. But I am going to give it something anyway.
I'm going to give it 5 stars.
You're going to give it to your pizza.
Oh, you are not.
Just to spite, because I'm not.
Yeah,
but
just to spite.
I'm going to tell all of you 2 stories, however. Okay?
Okay.
This is from experience, since I live off a trust fund at the moment. Most trust funds, or a lot of trust funds, and I get the impression that this trust fund was discretionary, which means that the bank cannot give you or anybody else money unless they feel like it.
Right, like Mommy Dearest.
Okay, no matter how bad you need it, if they say no, you don't get it.
Right.
Okay, the second story, that was a statement, but okay, the second thing is a story. My mom died about 11 years ago. My sister and her family came through the house like vultures.
Ransacked.
Having a meal. Because my dad, the same day my mom died, slipped and broke his hip and was in the hospital.
Oh.
So I'm here in the house, and as I said, my sister's family went through the, ransacked the house.
Free for all. Yeah.
Yep. My brother, my sister-in-law, my niece-nephew, and my nephew-in-law, as I call him, my niece's husband, we're all in the house. I'm sitting there watching TV, eating my heart out, because I wanted to keep the family together. Well, what I thought was a family. And we were never much of a family, but, you know, I'm the youngest. I wanted to at least have some semblance of a family, something I never had in my life.
You're the optimist.
Yeah, so I'm sitting in the TV room eating my heart out, letting them. My nephew-in-law comes in and goes, Rick, do you want me to kick everybody out? I thought about it for a few seconds, and like I said, I wanted to keep, try to keep this family or make a semblance of a family is something I never had. Who would look bad if I said, yes, Scott, go ahead, tell everybody to leave? Would
you'd
it be him
boss.
Or would it be me? It would
yeah.
be me.
Yeah. Yeah.
So for the sake of, again, like I said, keeping peace, trying to keep a family, I turned to him and I softly said, no, Scott, it's okay. Turned back, was watching TV, and continued to eat my heart. Okay? That's it, you get frustrated. I could feel for Barbara, that, 25 years of this guy. And the only way she would get the money, is by staying there and taking care of the robot. So she has to do it if she wants the money. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. If that's the way the trust fund is set up, you're screwed.
Yep.
Okay. I felt for her, and I, maybe not when I first saw it. When I was younger, I didn't feel for her or Uncle Simon. But I can feel the way she felt in a way then because of the same sort of situation, I guess, is the best way to put it.
Well, at least she didn't have to wear a voodoo mask. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah, what I've heard everybody say, I agree with. The acting wasn't all that great. Well, it was for what they did. The characters, no, they weren't sympathetic or likable or anything like that, but I'm wondering what they meant to be.
But it hit you at home in a sense of how you felt about this episode, didn't it? Just remind you of what you were just telling us a few minutes.
How I feel it now, yeah, how I feel about it now, yeah.
Yeah.
So, based on my thing, maybe sometime I'll change it again. But I'm going to give it a 1.5 for the humans, and I'm going to give it a 2 for Robbie.
Okay. All right, I can live with that. Yeah, it's cool.
I think it's amazing that this was done. Didn't you say to the Body Snatchers later on?
Based on the Body Snatchers, yeah.
Yeah. It would have been nicer to have the pod there instead of the, and have Uncle Simon come out of the pod. That would have been interesting.
I just said he ought to keep this off his resume. Well, okay, so that's cool, Rick. Okay, 1.5 to 2. All right. And, good stories, though. Good stories. And now Ken.
Okay. I've always liked this episode. I don't see why it's...
Oh, you too!
Yes, I've always liked
God,
it. Listen, I saw it when I was 8 years old. I saw it when I was 8 years old. I don't think...
Oh, hi, Felix. Just want to say hi to Felix.
Oh, yeah, hi, Felix.
I don't think it's tremendous. It's not one of my favorites, but it fails because it doesn't go far enough one way or the other, I think. Either you're going to make Barbara sympathetic, and you're going to make it then a horror story about how someone who is a caregiver can be destroyed by who she's giving care to. In essence, the way it is now, they're enabling each other. She is so stuck in this cycle of abuse, I don't think she'd understand anything else. And so she isn't pleasant. She's so downtrodden because maybe she's even liking it to a sad psychological extent by this time after 25 years. If she stood up and it went through the entire story and we have the Robbie shock at the end, and she then goes, I don't care about the money. You can't hurt me anymore, Uncle Simon. That would have made it a great episode. Then there would have been a moral of an epiphany and a triumph. Then it would have meant something. But as it is, it's a story of despair. So you're not going to get that much jollies. I don't fault the episode for them being unlikable. I think another way the episode would have worked better is make her horribly unlikable. Then we have it, then your typical EC comic Tales from the Crypt story that she is getting what she deserves, which is what happens, basically, in the episode.
Actually, more probably more Weird Science.
Well, EC, in the EC tradition of the gotcha, that all these years, that how much she poisons him deliberately, okay, and I'm going to get all this money because he's gone, and then it's like, bingo, you're never getting away from him, because that's the only way you have the money, is you always have to take care of Uncle Simon. Then it would have worked on that strict, gleeful level of, aha, comeuppance.
Then it becomes a curse.
That's exactly the way the episode is, but I always felt bad for her, even though she is kind of frumpy, and, I mean, you don't dislike her because she's frumpy, that's not the point. As a human being, she is. She's so... like was said earlier, you almost revel in Uncle Simon's insult because there's maybe a bit of a truism mixed in with the insult, you know, to it. That he's got, that he might be goading her, but there is no wit, no zest for life, no inner joie de vivre in her, you know. So he's able to poke at her, and she becomes, it's almost self-enabling prophecy, you know, with her. Interesting about Don Siegel, except directed Body Snatchers, an unbelievable classic, did a bunch of Clint Eastwood films, did John Wayne's last film, The Shootist.
Yeah.
So he's a brilliant director. This was nicely done. I think what got to me, and I'm giving it 2.5, was fair, sort of good. It was fine. Cedric Hardwick, nice performance. I always like him as an actor. Great voice. Always in my mind is Barbara, my hot cocoa, Barbara, in my China, Barbara. And it's like, ooh, just like nails on the blackboard. And that kind of struck to me, just the cadence of that always freaked me out. And then, you know, I love Robbie. How can I not? I love
Everybody
Robbie.
Everybody loves Robbie.
You know, so having him in Robbie, and knowing, okay, it's MGM. We're reusing the Forbidden Planet costumes. We're getting out Robbie for Invisible Boy for this every way we can. You know, let's pull him out. I like that. So, you know, it's in the EC tradition. So I think it works in that way.
Well, Felix just said that because of Robbie the Robot, he's giving it 2.5 because he loves Robbie the Robot.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
he's
Robbie
the Robot fans, yeah.
You know, so if it was just some terrible-looking robot, then nothing. But it could have been a classic episode if she was just a total rat bastard, or you really sympathized with her to a great degree, and she finds the inner strength to get away. That would have made it a better, and I'm not going to tell Rod Serling his craft. Dear God, he is maybe the greatest writing genius on television in the 20th century.
I agree with that 100%.
But
my idol.
But I think the episode gives us what it needs to be. Not everything can be steak. Sometimes you just want a cheap 99-cent McDonald's cheeseburger. And this is a really good 99% McDonald's cheeseburger episode.
That's a good analogy.
one last comment on it. I hate Time Enough at Last. Wait a minute. A caveat.
Oh, you're muted. You're
no, I'm not. No, I'm not. You leave me alone. Because I give it 4.5 to 5 stars. Wait a minute.
Oh,
now
you
you're
better
going.
Come up with, you better defend.
Now
that
you're
voice.
Doing your Scooby voice, going whoop. Okay. Okay, I hate
that.
Something about it, because that poor man doesn't deserve that fate.
No,
and I
doesn't.
Never understand, in a way, why does he have to suffer? It's great. It's a great episode, but it pisses me off.
Aww.
I know the gate from it, but it bothered me so much.
Because, it bothered me too.
Because
that's
okay.
Too.
Now you know why I'm saying it.
But I didn't hate it. It's my favorite.
No, I don't
episode.
Hate it. I hate that aspect of it. Okay, I wanted to freak you out here for a minute.
There's a slight lesson there, though.
But the lesson: his horrible harridan wife, that obscene boss. He's an intelligent, kind man. There is nothing wrong with him. There's nothing vicious about him. fate is not good to him. That bothers me so much. I just wanted to get that out because I wasn't there for the episode.
No, I hated the ending of Time Enough at Last because, I mean, it literally makes you cry.
But it hurts me so much all these years because it's like that poor man with that poetic soul being struck down by fate, by God, you know, and all of that. That bugs the heck out of me all these years.
I know it's devastating. I mean, I was devastated at the end of that episode. I wanted to. I did cry the first time I saw it.
Which is why. Also, on the other hand, The Obsolete Man is again one of my favorite episodes because he goes, but he goes in such triumph. And he is so amazing in that. And I love Burgess Meredith as an actor. I just wanted to say that always bothered me so much.
But
you
that's
know.
My favorite Twilight Zone episode of all time.
Yeah,
and
I adore that episode.
I'm devastated at the end.
But I'm saying it makes me very angry. It makes me very angry.
Oh, my God. You almost gave me a heart attack. Oh, my God. You hate Time Enough at Last. I go...
No, really?
Do you hate it or you just hate the ending?
No, I don't even hate the ending. I hate what it does to me, okay?
But do you still think it's a great episode? What do you rate it?
I give it a 5.
Oh, okay.
It makes me cry. But it's just such a fabulous
I wouldn't change the ending, but I find it almost like I want a sequel where there's someone walking by who sided, who's there, who's a glassmaker.
You know, I don't like sad endings, too, but that doesn't make them bad episodes.
Well, I know. I mean, I cried.
That's like saying I wish Deborah Winger had lived and pulled through the cancer at the end of Terms of Endearment.
I would have been
so tore up at the end.
I cried at the end of Time Enough at Last, and I still get teared up every time I see it. And I've seen it about 100 times, and I love it. And he was fabulous. Burgess Meredith was the greatest. Oh, my God, Time Enough at Last. Oh.
So don't you think it's also kind of a... with Time Enough at Last, at least there is kind of a... I mean, billions of people have died, and this guy's just happy that he can read by himself.
Yeah,
that seems a little.
No, but that's the worst. That's the worst. That's the worst thing ever. He survives. He survives, and he can't even read a good book.
Yeah, remember that.
Billions of people have died. It's like that's the best thing ever.
Remember that's what he said. That's what he said. He says, "Well, you know, this is all right. It's solitude. I've never had much solitude." And then finally, he finds solitude, and he wants to kill himself. Until he finds the books, and then he sees the books in solitude and utopia, basically, for him, because he's got the books in solitude, and that's what's sad about it.
Get a magnifying glass somewhere. That's all you got to do.
He must have been really blind,
yeah. That's what I can mean.
It just always bothered me that fate would give such a gotcha to such a nice guy.
Yes, and it was worse. Because
that would usually, again, that would happen to someone who would be vicious.
Yeah.
And that would be like, aha, good.
Yeah.
They got what they deserved. But with him, it's like he finally finds some joy in his existence, and it gets snatched away permanently from him.
Mm. Well, that was the whole point.
Yeah.
That was your twist.
That was Rod Serling, not having a good day.
Yeah. That was Rod Serling sucking you in. That was him sucking you in the series because you loved Henry Bemis and you cried at the end. And after that, you had to see the next episode.
The suits were getting on his case.
Yeah. But Rod knew he was still in there. But I cried. But the one other thing, I was happy is that his wife got blown up, man. Bitch is a century. Seriously.
And the fucking boss.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Was he horrible?
Oh, careful.
Ah, well, still. But really, she was. She was a bitch of the century. She was, Henry? I mean, come on.
Yeah, but now you're starting to sound like you're defending Barbara. I mean, Henry Bemis, Burgess Meredith's character stood by his wife, and Barbara stood by.
He had no choice. He had no choice. She kind of controlled him. you remember, he couldn't even walk out of the house. You pulled that book out of his pocket.
Yeah, but that's his choice, too, isn't it? In some way. He said, I do it.
These are underlying messages that you need to stand up for yourself.
But you got to remember, if Henry Bemis had tried to walk out of her, she would have beat the crap out of him. She was three times bigger than him. I'm poor man. My God, she was terrible to him.
Well, Uncle Simon was terrible to Barbara.
Yeah, but she was but he had a little more control over her.
So what you say there, Robbie?
Dr. Smith is a bubble-headed booby.
Oh, okay. Thank
you. This is true.
So what do you give it, Ken?
Two and a half.
All right. Okay, we can deal with 2.5. So across the board, we've got zeros to 2.5s. Felix, did you give it a – Felix gave it a 2.5. Somebody gave it a 3. Who was it that gave it a 3?
Guess
Hold
4.
On.
Historical.
No, chat four, guess 4, yeah.
Oh, guess 4 gave it a 3. All right. Okay, guess 4. Well, that's okay. All right. I'm sure you have your reasons. But
wait a minute here. You jump on 2.5 on poor Dave and you
– Yeah.
Except for 3?
I
said, I'm sure you've got your reasons. I mean, what can I say? I do not think it deserves a 3. I don't think it deserves a 2.5. But I'm sure you've all given your reasons why
That's
you
right.
gave it those ratings. Guess 4 did not give a reason, but he or she apparently likes it for some reason. And he said, I will give it a historical 3. She probably deserved the inheritance, okay? Well, he has his reason, so that's fine.
Listen, we should praise someone if they even give it a 5 who really are hot on Cedric Hardwick. Come on now. Yeah, I'm sure they're out there.
And like I say, it'd be a great Scrooge. He'd be great in Christmas movie or something. Yeah,
I'll tell you where he's great, in Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Oh, my God.
Frollo.
Oh, yeah. God, I forgot all about that. Oh, God, yeah.
That's amazing.
He was a wonderful actor. He really was.
Yeah.
Good British actor, and this episode was way beneath him, but oh well.
He probably got a good paycheck.
Yes, I'm sure he did. So. Well, at those times, Sterling's budget was so low, I don't know what he got paid, but I'm sure it was much less than he was worth. But, you know, they didn't give Rod much to work with back then. However, a lot of these actors did do the work for Rod because they were friends or because they liked him, and that's why a lot of them came back, and for very little pay, obviously. But
how much did Robbie get?
Oh, Robbie got paid a fortune. My God, he demanded it.
He got all the WD-40 he would drink.
That's right, all the WD-40.
He actually has an IMDb page.
He got Uncle Simon's house, the lab, all the money. What can he complain about?
He was like the Tin Man.
You rested bucket of bolts.
He was like the Tin Man in The Wizard of Oz. He just had his oil can. He was fine.
Never mind the robot behind the curtain.
Pay no attention to him.
Warning, warning. Nothing but nonsense from this point on.
All right, folks. Well, listen, 2 weeks from now, what are we looking at here? The 21st of June, we are going to be doing something really special. We're going to be doing Living Doll with Telly Savalas and Talkie Tina.
We've already done that.
What?
We've done that already.
We did that one already.
We did not.
Yes, we did.
All right, then the hell with me. Okay.
You're going backwards. We've passed that already.
Oh, all right.
Okay,
Lynn, Robert,
here is what
right,
is
Robert,
coming
up. All
right,
Robert, I need your help now.
Here it comes.
And now, Mr. Sterling.
Next on Twilight Zone, an eminent performer of stage and screen, Mr. Richard Bayside, in an oddball excursion that we call Probe 7 over and on occasion, we'll come up with a wild and woolly denouement, but this particular opus has an unpredictable ending that we doubt if even the most seasoned TZ fans will be able to pick up before it happens on your screen.
It's too
Next
Rod.
Next on Twilight Zone 7, over and out.
It's too Rod.
Right. You're right. I just looked at our list. We did do Living Doll. I apologize. But
you just
want to
do it again.
I'd rather do that again than Probe 7. Never and a half. Oh, well, it is what it is. So 2 weeks from now, on June 21st, Probe 7, over and out with Richard Basehart. No, I once asked a member of our group, we have a member of our group named George Basehart. I asked him if he was related, and he said no, but he's not positive. He said maybe distantly, but who knows. But anyway.
Probably wish he was related to the money that Basehart got paid.
That would be nice, exactly. Oh, well, okay, so we're not good. Living Doll is done. Okay, we want to do Tom Muffet last again? We can do that one. All right. Well,
better watch it. You have to do Caesar coming up. You know how much fun that'll be.
Which one?
Caesar. Caesar and Me.
Now
I know. Doesn't this get better and better as we go along?
You know what? You haven't gotten to my bottle of the battle yet. Bottom
yes, we know.
Barrel.
We don't want to wander around that episode too much.
Yes, my bottom of the barrel. Boy, where do we get to that one? Oh, my God. I don't know how many minuses there are, but I'm sure there's an infinity of them. But anyway.
You should have had James Best in that episode, didn't you? We really felt it. Huh?
Oh, God. You give me another James Best. Anyway. Okay, folks. 2 weeks from now, Probe 7 over and out. We're going to be over and out here in a second. So I'll say goodbye to everybody. Have a wonderful, wonderful weekend. It's gorgeous here, sun shining. So let's enjoy it and have a really fun time. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
Go California Chrome. Go, go, go. See
go,
y'all
California
later.
Chrome.